This week's parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh, and Parshas Tetzaveh is the only parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned since Moshe Rabbeinu came into being in Parshas Shmos. Since Shmos until Devarim, where this book of Devarim is actually Moshe Rabbeinu speaking himself, so his name would not be mentioned there, but all the parshas from the beginning of Shmos until the end of Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned at least once. And this parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned at all. So the Baal Turim asks a question, why is that so? The Baal Turim answers that when Hashem considered destroying the Jewish people next week's parsha after the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu on Parshas Kisiso, chapter 32, Pasuk number 32, there he says that if you forgive the Jews, im tisoch atosom, fine, if you forgive the Jews, fine, im ein, but if you do not forgive them, achenino, please erase me, mesifrecha, from the book, asher kosavto, that you wrote. Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem that if you don't forgive the Jewish people, then I want to be erased from the book of the Torah. And we know there is a rule that kilel as chacham, that when a tzaddik makes a curse, a filo al tnai hiba, even if it's a conditional curse, like Moshe Rabbeinu, where he says that if you forgive the Jews, fine. If you don't forgive the Jews, erase me from your book. So since he made a conditional curse that if Hashem would not forgive, he should be erased, and this curse is not dependent on him. In other words, if I make a statement, if I will go here, then this will happen. If I won't go, then that will happen. Since the choice is mine, it is up to me to fulfill both sides of the bargain. Both conditions depend on me, if I go or if I don't go. Then not necessarily that statement has to come true. Because I knew beforehand that I'm going to go, or I knew beforehand that I am not going to go. I never thought that the flip will take effect, that the other condition I made, if I don't go, that will take effect. But when a tzaddik makes a statement, and it is not dependent on the tzaddik to fulfill the conditions, it's dependent on another person or another being to fulfill the conditions, then the tzaddik had in mind that if the flip would happen, that if Hashem would not forgive the Jewish people, then really he had totally in mind that there should be a race. Because otherwise you're just bluffing with Hashem. And that would be unthinkable for Moshe Rabbeinu to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said the statement, he had to fully mean it. Since he meant fully, therefore Hashem had to erase him from one of the parshas. And Hashem chose Ve'ata Tetzaveh, the parsha of Tetzaveh, to remove Moshe Rabbeinu's name from the parsha. The question, though, that the Baal Turim doesn't ask is that Hashem could have removed them from any of the parshas from Shemos all the way to the end of Amidbar. Why did he specifically pick Parsha Tetzaveh to remove Moshe Rabbeinu's name? So the simple answer is the condition that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Mechena Misifrecha, is on Parshas Kisiso, and in the cycle of years, Parshas Kisiso follows immediately Parshas Tetzaveh. In other words, Parshas Tetzaveh is the Parsha before Parshas Kisiso, and Hashem wanted to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu's promise or condition, Mechena Misifrecha, has to come true. Once the tzaddik uttered those words, actually took effect, Hashem had to make that in one parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name would not be mentioned. So Hashem waits till the last possible moment, till the last possible parsha that he could remove Moshe Rabbeinu's name, and then he does it. Which, in other words, Hashem waited for a whole cycle of a year to pass by because he wanted to delay that fulfillment of the curse as much as he could, and he waited till the last possible moment, which is Parshas Tetzaveh, which comes directly before Parshas Kisiso, to fulfill and to make Moshe Rabbeinu's promise of Mechena Misifrecha, erase me from the book, come true. Another interpretation is brought down from the Sefer Mishkan Secho Yisrael, is that it could have written, Mecheni na misifrecha, erase me from the book, Shekel Safta, that you wrote. What is it written, Asher Kosafta, which is translated the same way, that you wrote? He answers that, if you take a look, the letters Asher, numerical value, is 501. The Aleph is 1, the Shin is 300, the Reish is 200. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mecheni, now erase me, Misifrecha, from the book, Asher, 501, Kosafto, that you wrote. And Parshas Tetzaveh, the numerical value of the word Tetzaveh, is also 501. The Tav is 400, the Tzadik is 90, so that's 490. The Vav is 6, that's 496. And the Hey is 5, so that's 501. So Moshe Rabbeinu, because he says, Mecheni na misifrecha, erase me from the book, Asher Kosafto, that you wrote, the word that, Asher, is numerical value Tetzaveh. Therefore, Hashem decided that he's going to remove his name from a parasha that is numerical value the same as Asher, since it was part of Moshe Rabbeinu condition. I heard quoted from the Chassam Sofer that the Chassam Sofer asked a question, how is it possible that Hashem Yisborach should punish Moshe Rabbeinu for the Mesiras Nefesh, for the selflessness that Moshe Rabbeinu did on behalf of the Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing to gain. Hashem said that I will make you for a great nation. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't want you to make me a great nation. I want you to forgive the Jewish people. And if you don't forgive the Jewish people, erase me from the book. How is it possible that Hashem should punish him for the willingness to self-sacrifice for the Jewish people? The Chassam Sofer answers that, yes, Hashem is able to fulfill Moshe Rabbeinu's curse, Mecheni na misifrecha, erase me from the book, and yet Hashem is able to turn this into a positive and not a negative. He explains that in the whole Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is always referred to in the third person. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor. Hashem spoke to Moses saying. So Moshe Rabbeinu is always referred to a third person. But in this parsha, because what Moshe Rabbeinu did, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to sacrifice his name not being written down, Hashem, specifically as a reward for his selflessness, Hashem calls him in a second person, like a person speaking to a close friend. Ve'ata, and you. In the whole Torah, when Hashem normally speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's always in the third person format, which means remote, far away. But here, because Moshe Rabbeinu's selflessness, Hashem fulfilled the curse, Mecheni na misifrecha, erase me from the book, and yet Hashem is able to elevate it and make it a second person, and you, in the wording, is like he's speaking directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, it is a reward, not a detriment. The fact that he's using Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command, it's a reward for Moshe Rabbeinu. True, that his name is not mentioned, but it's not a detriment, because it's actually elevated to a closer relationship to Hashem, because of his Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Shimon Sofer answers the question with a little bit of the same idea, and he brings an example. The example he brings is about a king that was once saved by a commoner, and the commoner, because he saved the king decides to make him king for a day, and gives up the scepter, and tells him, today is the day that you could rule over the whole country. Because you saved me, therefore I'm giving you a reward for you to rule over the whole country. He explains that this is what it's meant by Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command. That normally it's written Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor. The Hashem tells to Moshe to repeat to the Jewish people, which means that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to repeat to the Jewish people that this is my commandment. I command the Jewish people to do that. And Moshe Rabbeinu's function was only to be the intermediary. He was the one that transmitted what Hashem commanded to the Jewish people. But here, because of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mesiras Nefesh, because Moshe Rabbeinu's self-sacrifice, Hashem is changing his formula of commandment, and he says, Ve'ato tetzave, and you should command the Jewish people, you directly, not as a messenger from me, you directly should command the Jewish people. The same example, like the commoner who became king for a day, and he's able to command the people, so too Hashem is saying, normally the commandment comes directly from me, and you are just the intermediary who repeats, who tells everybody, the messenger who tells my commandment to the Jewish people. But here now, I want you to command the Jewish people. The commandment will come directly from you, because you are like the person who became king for a day, because of your Mesiras Nefesh, because of your self-sacrifice for the Jewish people, I'm giving you the reward that you are the one who is going to command. And that could be also Hashem's way of fulfilling Moshe Rabbeinu's curse that it should be erased from the book. And Hashem is doing it in a positive way, that he is actually elevating Moshe Rabbeinu to almost as a king, like he is commanding the Jewish people directly and not Hashem. Ve'ato tetzave, you should command the Jewish people and not Hashem. Another answer why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned is brought down by Sefer Panei Achroza, and it's based on the Gemara in Zvochim Daf Kov Beis Omed Aleph. There the Gemara explains that it's written on chapter number 4, Shemos, Pasuk number 14. There we know Moshe Rabbeinu was asked by Hashem to go to Pharaoh and tell him to free the Jewish people. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go. So much at Pasuk number 13 says, Be Adoni, please my master, Shlach no beyat tishlach, send through whoever you want to send. As a consequence, in Pasuk number 14, it's written, Va'ichar af Hashem b'Moshe, that the wrath of Hashem turned against Moshe. Va'yomer, he says, Alo yahar nachicho alevi, is there not Aharon, your brother, the Levite? Yodati, I know, kidaber yedaber hu, that he is going to speak. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, Kol charoen av shebatoira, every time it says burning of anger in the Torah, Nema boiroishem, it's always written next to it the consequence. Vezeh, but this case, where Hashem gets angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, loy nema boiroishem, it's not written any consequence. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Av zeh nema boiroishem, that here too, when Hashem gets angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, it's also written a consequence. What's the consequence? Right away the pasuk says, Haloi haharn achicha alevi, is there not a harn, your brother, the Levite? So why is he calling him the Levite? Va'aloi koyen hu. A harn is not a Levite. A harn is going to be a harn a koyen. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai explains that Ochikomar, Hashem is trying to say to Moshe Rabbeinu like that, Ani omarti, I said, Ato koyen, you'll be the koyen v'hu levi, and he'll be the levi. But now, because of your recalcitrance, because you delayed, and you were did not go so quickly, Achshav, hu koyen v'ato levi, now he's a koyen, and you are a levi. So according to this Gemara, comes out that because Moshe Rabbeinu delayed, Moshe Rabbeinu did not go right away, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished that he was supposed to be the Kohen, and now Aharon is the Kohen instead, because till now he was Aharon a Levi, till now he was Aharon the Levite. But now, because of Moshe Rabbeinu's delay, Moshe Rabbeinu won't be a Kohen anymore, but instead Aharon is going to be the Kohen, and Moshe Rabbeinu is just going to be the Levite. They're going to reverse roles. Until now, Aharon was supposed to be the Levite, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, was supposed to be the Kohen. But because of your delay, this role is reversed. Now Aharon is the Kohen, and you are the Levite, and not the Kohen. And since this parsha is talking mostly about the big nekehuna, the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, the vestments of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol, therefore, the Paneach Rozer explains that Hashem did not want to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu by mentioning his name together the clothes of Kohen Gadol, since he lusted, he was supposed to wear those clothes, and he lusted because of his delay in saving the Jewish people, in coming out from Midian to save the Jewish people. So therefore, Hashem didn't want him to be embarrassed. Hashem removed his name from this parsha. The question on this Paneach Rozer is an interesting question. The whole idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned is because we don't want to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu by giving the laws of Big De Kahuna and his name be mentioned. But in truth, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that is repeating the commandments to give Aharon his clothing. But yet, you don't want it to be mentioned in the Torah, because like that, Moshe Rabbeinu will be embarrassed. Isn't it a greatest embarrassment now that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned, and we ask the question, how come Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned? Then we find out that he was punished, but that he lost the kahuna. Wouldn't it be better that Moshe Rabbeinu's name should be mentioned at least once in this week's parsha? Could even be in connection to the oil, which is mentioned in the beginning of the parsha, Vikho Elecho Shemen Zai Zoch, that it should take to you pure oil to light the menorah. Why couldn't it be in connection to that and not be mentioned during the Big De Kahuna? And then I wouldn't ask any question, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned? But now that I don't mention at all Moshe Rabbeinu's name, everybody asks a question, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned? And we have to come to say that he was punished. Isn't that a greater embarrassment to Moshe Rabbeinu than having his name mentioned at least once in this week's parsha? Then the question is, how come it's not mentioned in this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name? This Paneach Rozer that connects Moshe Rabbeinu's delaying to go tell Pharaoh about the Jewish people with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, and that's the reason Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in this week's parsha, I wanted to use in a different way. Meforshim explained that one of the reasons that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to go to Pharaoh when Hashem told him to go is because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give honor to his older brother Aharon. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that throughout Sefer Bereishis, all the fights happened because the younger brother always got more credit than the older brother. For example, Yitzchak and Ishmael, where Yitzchak got more credit than Ishmael, Esav and Yaakov, where Yaakov got more credit than Esav. You continue to Yosef and his brothers. Yosef was younger than his brothers, and he got more credit, and that caused animosity, that caused fights. Even though Menashe Ephraim rectified it, but nonetheless, we saw that throughout those generations, there was always rift, there was always fights between brothers, because the younger always got more credit than the older. So Moshe Rabbeinu, knowing that he's a younger brother, he wanted to give more credit to Aharon. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted really Aharon should take over, and Aharon should have the credit of taking the Jewish people out of Egypt to go ahead. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu did not foresee that he's going to lose the kahuna, but nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give to Aharon all his credit. If you take a look, the parshas from Shemos until the end of Pikudei, Aharon's name is mentioned in every single parsha but one. Aharon's name is not mentioned in Parshas Truma. So I want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, being one of Mikol Adam, being the most humble person from the whole world, Moshe Rabbeinu honoring always his older brother, never wanting his older brother to miss out and lose out in his credit that is due him as an older brother. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw that Aharon's name is not mentioned in Parshas Truma, asked Hashem to remove his name from Parshas Tetzaveh. So in order to be equal, the same idea that Rashi brings down on Parshas Vo'era, chapter 6, Pasuk number 26. So Rashi says, Yesh mekoyma shemagdim Aharon leMoshe. There are places where Hashem puts first Aharon and Moshe. There are places that Moshe is written first and then Aharon. loy malach shashkulim ke'echa, to tell you that they both equal, that Moshe Rabbeinu is equal to Aharon, and Aharon is equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. So since that is so, since in Parshas Truma, Aharon's name is not mentioned, therefore, I want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu always honoring his older brother, and always being humble by seeing that Aharon's name is not mentioned in Parshas Truma, decided to ask Hashem, please do not mention my name in Parshas Tetzaveh, like that we will be truly equal. And according to this, Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned, not because he's being punished, actually to show that you have to honor your older brother, and he was very meticulous in honoring his older brother, and since his brother is not mentioned in Parshas Truma, he was not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. The other interpretation is to analyze what really is the clause, what is meant by the clause of the Kohen Gadol, and why do we have clause. So to do that, we have to start all the way back from Bereshis. In Bereshis, chapter number 2, Pasuk number 25, there says, Vayishne Marumim, that both of them were naked, Hadam Vayishtoi, man and his wife, and Chava, Veloiz Bashoshu, and they were not ashamed, that they were not embarrassed. But right after they sinned, on chapter 3, Pasuk number 7, after the 8 from the fruit, says, Vatipokachno Eneshnaim, the eyes of both of them were opened, Vayedu, and they realized, Ki Arumim Hem, that they are naked. And then they were ashamed. Mefarshim explained that what changed between before the sin, where they were naked and they were not ashamed, and after the sin, when they were naked and they became ashamed. So they explain it's not that they saw each other and didn't see that they didn't have any clothes. That would be a very simplistic interpretation and be missing a very important point. What they explain is that man is comprised of two parts, the physical and the spiritual. We are comprised of a neshama and a guf. The physical part, which is the part of the body that does action, where normally this is the part of our physicality that desires things in this world, and that is considered the negative part normally of man, and the spiritual part, which is always holy, which is a chelek Elokim imal, a part of Hashem, part of godliness that Hashem puts in every person, known as the neshama. In optimum condition, when the physicality and spirituality work in harmony, where the physicality reflects the beauty and the purity of the neshama, then a person would not be ashamed of his physicality, since his physicality is completely in harmony of his spirituality, which is so beautiful, so pure, and so full of light. Therefore, wouldn't be necessary for somebody to cover up his physicality and cover up his body. But once a person does a sin, then his physicality becomes blemished. In compared to his spirituality, he has got now a stain, and he's ashamed of the stain because the stain is open to everybody. So therefore he's ashamed. Therefore, he's required to clothe himself, and the clothes will cover his physicality, his physical part. You won't be able to see what his blemishes are. That's why in Lashon Kodesh, the holy tongue of the Torah, where every word, every name means something. If you take a look at the word baget, baget is clothing, and baget is also bagad, which means a treachery, somebody who is treacherous. Which means that the only reason that you were in clothing is because your body was treacherous against the soul, that your body did something wrong. That's why you are required to wear clothing, because had you been in harmony with your soul, then you wouldn't require to have clothing. But now that you were treacherous, you're required to put a baguette, you're required to put clothing on it, not to be ashamed. Also, if you continue, if you take a look, levush, which is also considered dressing, levush means lo bosh, which means not embarrassed, that the whole reason that we wear clothing is in order for us not to be embarrassed by our spirituality, that since we have blemishes in our physicality because we sinned, that's why we require to have clothing. Clothing, which is levush, are the words lo bush. The clothing causes the physicality not to be embarrassed. And that is exactly what happened to Adam HaRishon and Chava. Adam HaRishon, before the sin, they were not ashamed of their body, because since it was before any sin, their physicality reflected their spirituality. They were both completely pure. Light emanated from within them. And therefore, even though they saw their nakedness, they were not embarrassed. But once they committed a sin and they saw there was a blemish on their physicality, and now the physicality becomes stained, become tainted, now they realize they are naked and they see the stain, and now they are embarrassed. That's why it's written in the Pasuk on chapter 3, Pasuk number 21, Vayas Hashem Elokim le'Adam u'l'Ishtoi, Hashem made to Adam and his wife kosnos oir, clothes of leather, vayalbishem, and he dressed them up. The word or, leather, are the letters Ayin, Vav, Reish, which is the letters of Iver, somebody who is blind, which means to say that we know somebody who is blind cannot see. So the only reason I'm giving you this clothing is to cover up, for you not to see your blemishes. That normally you shouldn't have to wear any clothing, because your spirituality should match your physicality. Your physicality should match your spirituality. But since you committed a blemish, now I have to give you clothing for the blind. In other words, clothing that cover up in order for you not to see your blemishes. Comes out according to this that the reason that you wear clothing is to cover your sins, and the ultimate purpose of it is really to get the clothes off and be able to reunite again your physicality to your spirituality. With that interpretation, we could explain a perplexing medrash on Bereishis. The medrash brings down on the pasuk that Hashem made kosnos or, that he made garments of skin. The medrash brings down, but Tarosu Sharab Meir, in Tarosu of Rab Meir was written kosnos or with aleph, that Hashem made not tunic of skins, but tunic of light. And everybody is bothered, what is the meaning of the medrash to change the ayin, which means skin or hide, to or, which means light? But according to what we just mentioned, that right now Hashem makes it to cover up for you not to be embarrassed, but the ultimate goal is for you to be able to get to the Ora Torah, get to the light of Torah, be able to get to the light completely in such a way that your physicality should reflect the or of the Neshama, that your physicality should reflect the light of the Neshama. That is the ultimate cloth that Hashem wants you to wear. Hashem wants you to wear a cloth of light. Like it's written in Borchi Nafshi on Tehillim 104, there it says, Hoyd v'hoder lavashto, Hashem, you have donned majesty and splendor. Oite oir kasalmo, you are cloaked in light as with a garment. So we see that the garment of Hashem is made of light. When Hashem made for Adam kosnos oir, Hashem made for Adam clothing of skin, Hashem was hinting him that I want you to use this clothing of skin to ultimately get to the clothing of light that you're supposed to have. The same way Hashem has clothing of light, that Hashem wear garments of light, Hashem wanted men to wear also garments of light, but temporarily he gave him garments of skin. That's why in Torah of Rav Meir, the Torah of Rav Meir was written kosnos oir with a aleph, that clothing of light, because that is the ultimate goal that Hashem wanted us to have. True, Hashem made kosnos oir a clothing of leather, but Hashem really wanted you to eventually have kosnos oir, clothing of light. By you thinking, how come I still have my skin clothing, then you'll come to do tshuva, and eventually your tshuva will bring you to have clothing of light. And the same idea that clothing is supposed to remind you to do tshuva, you could see it's expressed in the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Peiches Omed Beis. There the Gemara explains that the vestments of the Kohen Gadol, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, atoned for certain sins, that each vestment atoned for a particular sin. And the Gemara says that the ketonet mechaperes ashvichas domim, the shirt atones for spilling of the blood, which means sins of murder. And the michlosaim and the pants atone for gilarois, for immorality. And the mitznefes, the hat, atones for gasoriach, somebody who is haughty. And the Gemara there continues and tells you what particular sin does the clothing atone for. So you see that all the clothing of the Kohanim atone for certain things that a person goes through, and the sole purpose of this clothing was in order to atone for certain things. So therefore, I wanted to answer, not exactly like the Panei Achraza brings down, that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not written here is because since Moshe Rabbeinu cannot wear the vestments of the Kohen Gadol, because he was punished that he is not a Kohen anymore, therefore Hashem took away his name from the parsha that's written, the vestments of the Kohen, I want to say quite opposite. Hashem is taking away the name of Moshe Rabbeinu from the vestments of the Kohen because Moshe Rabbeinu has no need for vestments anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu achieved such a high level that he rectified everything that a vestment is supposed to be. That his vestments are not meant to teach other people to do tshuva through the vestments like the kosnas or vestments of leather is supposed to mean. Moshe Rabbeinu already has achieved the level of kosnas or with aleph. He achieved the level of having clothing of light. And that is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear in the vestments of the Kohanim, because it does not apply to him totally. Hashem wanted everybody to be aware that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve such a level that clothing for him does not need to atone for anything, because he achieved a level where his inside and outside are equal, that he is able to look at his physicality and not be embarrassed as Hashem's clothing, that it is a clothing of light. And where do I see that? I see that from the end of Parshas Kisisa. That in the end of Parshas Kisisa, chapter 34, Pasuk number 29, there it's written, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain carrying the tablets, the Pasuk says, Umoshe lo yada, Moshe did not know, ki koran oir ponov, that the face became radiant with Dabro Itoi when he spoke to him. Koran Oirponov means, according to Rashi says, Sheol Or Mavhik Ubolet Kemin Keren, that the light would shine and project like a horn, and he was able to change the or, the skin with iron, to or with olive light. Moshe was able to take the kosnas or, he was able to take the vestments of skin with iron, and he was able, through his holiness, through his working on himself, and through his humility, he was able to get to the level that he got kosnas or, he got a vestment of light, so much that Moshe Rabbeinu's face was lit up, that people were afraid to get close to him, that you had to wear a mask to cover up for the people. So Moshe Rabbeinu truly had no need for skin, for the clothing anymore. So once Moshe Rabbeinu has no skin for clothing, Hashem decided to show everybody that Moshe Rabbeinu is a level that he has no more need for clothing. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not written in Parshas Tetzaveh, since Parshas Tetzaveh deals primarily with the vestment of the Kohanim, and Moshe Rabbeinu achieved such a level that he was able to rectify all the vestments, and now he has got vestments of light, so therefore his name is not mentioned there. And according to this, we could also answer another question. Because the question that they ask is, how come the parsha deals with the oil of the menorah? Number one, oil is something consumable. So consumables should not be part of the building of the Beis Hamikdash or of the vestments of the Kohanim. Because the Torah doesn't mention here that you're required to have animals for sacrifices or flour for the showbread. And second, if you want to deal about consumables, then the oil for the menorah should be written right next to the menorah. Last week's Parshas Truma, we mentioned about the menorah. That's the proper place to put the menorah. Or the other place to write down about the oil of the menorah is when you're talking about the kindling of the menorah in Parshas Baal Oischa, where you tell Aharon when you kindle the menorah where you should kindle it, that's where you should put what is the proper oil for the menorah. Why is the Parsha Vato Tetzave that they should bring to you Shemen Zayzach, pure oil, written here next to the vestments of the Kohanim? But now we could say that since Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve the light, and the light, like we mentioned, is the light of the Torah, or the light of equating the physicality to the Neshama, and like it's written, Kiner Mitzvah, the Torah, or that a candle is a mitzvah and Torah is light. So Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to tell you that the main goal is to get the light. The main goal of a person is to be able to achieve the light directly and not to have the clothing to cover up your sins, or to have the clothing in order to cause you to atone or cause you to remind you the sin. The main purpose for you is to have the light. But barring that, since you aren't able to get the light, then the vestments of the Kohanim will atone for the sins that you commit. But it's better if you are able yourself to achieve the light. And the way to achieve that is to be kosis lamor, is to be pressed for lighting. In other words, you have to feel like you are broken, like you have a broken heart, that you are beaten. The same way that used to beat the olives to get the oil, so to a person has to be humble. A person has to beat his Yetzer Hara, make sure that he pounds his Yetzer Hara away. He also has to pound away his haughtiness, like Moshe Rabbeinu, has to approach Hashem with a broken heart, has to be afraid to sin. That is one way to achieve the light. Before you're looking for atonement, after you sin, you have to try to first to be kosis, to be able to pound against your evil inclination. Like that you'll be able to achieve the light. Another interpretation, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in this week's Parsha, is brought down by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that since normally Parshas Tetzaveh falls around Zayin Adar, around the 7th of Adar, the 7th of Adar is known as the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So since Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be taken away from us, Hashem, in order to remind you that Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit is coming up, decided to remove Moshe Rabbeinu's name from the Parsha. Like that, you are going to ask, how come Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not here? And you will find out that is Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, and then you will remember it properly the way it's supposed to be. The Vilna Gaon, though, continues, and he says that even though Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not clearly written in the Parsha, but yet he is alluded to in the Parsha. That if you take a look at the name Moshe, the name Moshe has a Mem, Shin, and a Hey. If you spell out the letters Mem, Shin, Hey, the Mem is Mem, Mem, and the Shin is Shin, Yud, Nun, and the Hey is Hey, Aleph. So if you take away the name of Moshe and you leave the other letters of the word Moshe, so Moshe is Mem, the Mem is spelled Mem, Mem. You take away the first Mem, which is the actually Mem we use for the word Moshe, and you leave one Mem is 40. The Shin of Moshe is, take away the Shin, Shin is spelled Shin Yud Nun. You take away the Shin, you have Yud Nun. So Mem is 40, Yud Nun is 10 and 50, so that is 100. And then the Hey is spelled Hey Aleph. You take away the Hey, all you get is the Aleph. So you get one. So you get the mem of mem, the yud nun of shin, and the aleph of hey. So if you add mem, yud nun, and aleph, you end up having 101. 101 is exactly the numbers of psukim that are in this week's parsha. So the Vilna Gaon says that even though Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, but the hidden part of Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, not the one that you pronounce, the one that his name is composed of, which is the other mem, the yud and the nun of the shin, and the hey, the aleph of the hey. So if you add them all together, ends up being 101. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is alluded to this parsha. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should all remember the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we should all learn Torah's Moshe, and through Torah's Moshe, we should be able to achieve the light. We shouldn't have to have the clothing of skin. We should all achieve the clothing of light. And if you repent in our sins and we all achieve that goal, then we will have Moshiach Tzidkenu come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuild, b'imheira b'yomeinu, Amen.